from now until we get into heaven, we're going to fall short on a day in and out basis. We're going to need the blood of Jesus to cover us and the grace of Jesus to reconcile us back to Him.
This is The Uncomfortable Truth. Hello and welcome back to The Uncomfortable Truth. We're thankful to have you today. That's not just a statement or something that we say. We are thankful for you and appreciate you being here and supporting just us sitting here talking about life, pretty much.
Very much so. We appreciate our vast audience.
It's vast.
And by vast, we mean 10 to 6.
Geologically, we do have people like one in California, yeah. One in Florida, one in New York, you know?
Yeah.
So geologically, it's vast.
Why is it that when kids are talking numbers, they... You know, like
say the bigger number first.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
That's isn't that
it's, Hispanic
it's generally
dudes.
Generally, kids.
It's kids and Hispanic. Any Hispanic dude I've ever worked with, and I've worked with a lot of guys being in the lawn landscape industry. They'll always like I'll say, you know, how many yards do we have left? 6 or 5.
I was thinking the other day, 6 or 7 or 5. You know, and I'm like, why not 8? You know, why not 6 or 7 or 8?
Yeah.
And then the other day, Owen, I asked him a question about how many of something, and he said 3 or 4 or 2.
Yeah, maybe it's just how their brains work and they're developing.
Maybe so.
Because a lot of kids do that. Yeah. That's weird. It's weird to hear that. Hey, we started something uncomfortable. We started back in the gym last week. You remember that day one we did? Here was our list, our set of exercises.
Are you trying to like embarrass us? Yeah,
I don't know if I get too embarrassed anymore.
Well, I guess it depends on
maybe I'll embarrass you.
How old we are?
Yeah, we'll get into that. So our set list for our first workout was 3 sets of 8 squats.
Yeah.
With nothing on the bar.
We did the bar.
Then we did
lunges.
Lunges, 3 sets of 8 or 10.
Yeah.
With no weight.
Just straight up lunges.
Then we did leg lifts.
Like quad extensions.
Quad extensions. 3 sets of 10 or so, yeah. With 25.
Something like that. Not much.
Then
weight.
We did 3 sets of 8 sit-ups.
Kind of decline.
Yeah,
sit-ups.
The whole workout.
Work your lower abs.
The whole workout took less time than our stretching.
No doubt. Yeah. We stretched longer than we worked out, and we literally, 3 days later, couldn't move.
later that same day, I call Obi, and I said, hey, man, in my truck, I have the steps that fold out when you open the door. And I stepped out and lost my leg and almost fell over. I went all the way down, almost knee to the ground. And I told him that, and he's like, bro, I did the exact same thing.
Exactly. And yesterday, I mean, we didn't have a hard workout. You know, this is the second week back in our first workout of the second week.
We did that same workout yesterday.
Did the same workout with weights. And I tell you, the worst part of it is the abs for me.
Yeah.
Like last night, even like I'm just laying in bed, and if I move just barely, like everything,
it's the lower
below my waist,
the connection of like under the
all
belly.
All those tendons right there. It's like, oh my gosh. And just think, like women, if they have a C-section,
all that's cut.
They cut and sever all of that.
I think every woman in the world is tougher than every man. I believe that.
I think it's pretty much proven, you know.
Yeah, I think it's proven every time you get sick.
Yeah.
I get sick. If I get something and then Courtney gets it, I'm like down for 3 days. And then she's like a day. She may lay in the bed for a day and then it's like she's up doing stuff. And I'm like, don't you feel terrible? It's like, yeah, but I got to do this stuff. I'm like, how can you operate?
I know.
Oh, man. You know,
like, it's there's jokes about it. There's a lot of jokes about it. But I would say in the majority of the cases, those jokes are rightfully.
I think that's probably, I mean, that's a stereotype, but it's a 90% accurate one.
I would talk
to any woman about her man being sick.
I wonder what percentage of stereotypes are like 75%+ accurate.
That'd be something good to dive into.
Yeah.
You know, all these things get tougher when you get older, like getting back in the gym, and especially when you have a birthday and you turn 47.
Yeah.
Wait, that's Sean.
That's Sean on March 18th.
Is he 47? Or 46.
He'll be 47 on the 18th of March.
Dang. Oh, we turned 39.
I turned 39 today. My last happy birthday. Thank you. My last year around the sun.
Yeah.
In my 30s.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make the most of it.
It might not be, you know, if you believe that all the conspiracies, it might not be a year around the sun. We might just be floating in space in random spots. Who knows?
And it may be a flat earth.
I don't understand. Like, I think he can look out over the horizon and like it makes sense to me that the earth is round.
It was so funny. I watched this.
Where's the end if it's just flat?
I watched this little podcast the other day, and this guy was just absolutely.
He was convinced.
There's no question. It's a flat. I mean, this, you'd be crazy not to. And the interviewer stated like 50 facts back to back. I mean, it was nonstop for like 3 minutes.
Okay.
About every scientific, every NASA program. There's like worldwide NASA type programs. There's like 300 or something.
Yeah.
Every one of them unequivocally, like 100% of the people that work there. And he's like, this is like 150,000 people.
Yeah.
Worldwide believe unequivocally and have the data to back it up that this earth is round. And he keeps on and keeps on. And then he's like, what do you have to say about that? And the guy's like,
why is it such? I just don't understand.
I think there's
ideas out there that, you know, conspiracy ideas that are, you know, they're called conspiracies that are legitimate, right? That makes sense. Why is the flat earth hot topic for the past year? Why has it been? It's just weird. It's weird what we get hung up on.
I agree.
As humans.
We get hung up on it, you know, in the beginning of a podcast.
The human condition is a funky one. All right, Obi, you want to open something in prayer and we'll jump in?
I'd love to. Lord, we thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you that you allow me to celebrate another birthday, another year on this planet to bring glory to you, Lord, and to seek other ways to honor you in everything that I do. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to wake up every morning and do that. Lord, we thank you for our families. We thank you for this platform that you've given us to tell people about you, to point them to you, Lord, and to just help them to know that you are the way and the truth and the life. And Lord, I pray that we honor you through that. And we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to jump into, Obi and I have been reading a book. And if, you know, we say the title of this book, you're going to recognize it if you listen to the show, because Obi reads it once a year, typically.
Pretty much once a year, rolling into the new year, kind of gives me some perspective.
Yeah.
Really, really pulls me in and helps me get pointed in the right direction.
Well, Obi reading this book every year is mighty studious of you. This is, when he started working out, Obi's telling me that he's reading this book, and I'm thinking new year, new goals. I don't make a lot of goals, but I want to read more books this year. And my goal is to read one book a month, and that's not hard. Specifically one physical paperback book, because I never finish audio or if I put it on my iPad.
Yeah.
Yep. And I know that from 40 years of experience. He's talking about the book, and I'm like, oh, that sounds good. I've been wanting to read this book that I've had for 10 years.
Have you really had it that long?
Yeah, and I've never read it. Wow. The Greatest Salesman. No, what's it called?
The book that we're talking about is called Go Giver.
What's the other? Ogmandino.
Ogmandino.
Greatest Salesman on Earth or Greatest Salesman in the World, something like that.
Something like that.
I've been wanting to read that book for 10 years. I've had that book for 10 years. So I go to look for it in all my book drawers that I haven't opened in probably 2 years. And I cannot find it. And I get to this drawer and I open this drawer and I'm going through books. And at the very bottom, here's this book, The Go Giver. I didn't even know I had it. I didn't know I ordered it. I had no idea. I was like, well, I mean, that's really thin. I'll read that.
Your brother probably gave it to you.
He probably did. So it's only like 90 pages. So I get into it and I've read it in 2.5 days.
Yeah.
The principles in that book, I'll give a general oversight. It's called The Go-Giver. The principles in that book are business principles. I would say they're based on biblical concepts.
If they weren't intentionally based on biblical concepts, they didn't realize.
Well, if you read the credit things at the end, one of the guys is Christian.
Okay.
And one of the guys is, I think they said Catholic. And so it talks about the Christian guy, how he, like they wrote it together in parable style.
Okay, cool.
And it cool. is based on
Christian principles.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if they didn't realize it, they just didn't realize it.
That's
just
right.
Not giving credit where credit's due. Because 100% of the book is based off of biblical teachings and principles and how God would desire us to live our lives.
Yeah.
You know, and you can correlate it into any aspect of your life and put it into action. Put the principles into action and honor God, you know, through whatever you may be doing, so long as you are following those the principles of the book. And you know, it starts out, and you know, like Shane said, this book, it really kind of focuses a little bit more on business. It puts a business spin to the principles, but it's the principles, they call them the five laws of stratospheric success. And so you hear the word success, and I think naturally you do think about business a little bit. And
that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, so you think business because you think they use the word success. But I think most everyone understands that success is a measurement of millions of different metrics. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's.
I thought you were gonna say millions of dollars.
can be.
This is very one small part of it.
That's exactly right. It can be. You know, one of the laws, the five stratospheric laws of success, is called the law of compensation. So, but again, compensation can be a million different things.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be money.
Yeah.
You know, I think that when you hear compensation, the very first thing that most folks think about is money. But all these laws ultimately help you to lead a more successful life. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean money. You know, so it's really interesting to read through it. You read it the first time, so
yeah.
What did you think?
It'll change your mindset on specifically business, but just life in general, just because, you know, it is based on biblical principles. Of the idea is to give. It's
Go Giver.
Yeah.
Title of the book.
The idea is to radically think about other people's needs.
Yep.
And to give more than you could ever expect in return. One of the things that you and I discussed was this idea of 50-50. This idea of 50-50 says, if I do something for you, then you do something for me, and we're even.
Tit for tat.
Yep. We're going to make sure like that our relationship stays on a level playing field, or our business relationship stays on a level playing field, and we're always striving to do at least as much as the other person is doing so that things are equitable. And that the book just blows that out of the water. And what it says is that we should be giving 100% of ourselves to the other person, to our spouse, to our kids, to our business partners, to our friends, and not be concerned with what we receive back. Now, there is this law of reciprocation.
Law of receptivity.
Receptivity. Mm-hmm. That's the last one that they talk about, that we should be open to receiving as well, but not expect the receiving, right? Is that what you got from it?
Yeah, yeah. Ultimately, I think the reason that the authors put the law of receptivity as the last law is because ultimately you can't give unless somebody's willing to receive.
That's right.
And so we can't receive unless somebody's willing to give. It's a cause and effect kind of situation. Yeah. And if you don't practice receptivity, then you can't practice giving. Ultimately,
that's probably the one that I need to work on the most. I'm not great at receiving. Yesterday, you and I were working out, and I had been looking for some specific dirt for 3 days. Nobody could get it because it's wet around here. They can't get it in their pits and scoop it out. Then they have to make sure they can have somebody there to scoop it out to load it in my dump trailer. Couldn't find any. And I say, Obi, I got to find some dirt today, some select field dirt. And he's like, how much you need? And I said, 3 yards. And he's like, bro, I have 3 yards right here. he just finished building his house. Got 3 yards of dirt. Literally, I was scooping it yesterday, and I got 3 yards, and there was probably a quarter to a half yard left over.
Yeah.
And it was like, receiving that, I wanted to pay you, right? You said, no, don't worry about it. And I was like, no, I want to pay you. And you're like, no, don't worry about it. I have a hard time receiving help, receiving gifts. I don't have as hard of a time giving, although radically giving when you're tired and your kid's finishing basketball practice up and your wife is tired. And it's 8:30 at night, and
all you want to do is go home and sit and maybe watch some TV for a little bit,
right?
And not do anything.
I don't want to go pick her up. Can you go get her?
Right.
The selfless part of that, which goes back to biblical principles, is yes, I'm tired, but I'm willing to sacrifice how tired I am to make sure that
my wife is to serve.
Yeah.
Do you think that the law of, or that the receptive aspect of the laws of stratospheric success, do you think that that comes from years or a lifetime of a tit for tat kind of mindset among pretty much all the relationships that you've ever been in? I mean, I feel like that it's really easy to think that there's always going to be an expectation behind some thing that somebody does for you. You know,
that's the hard part is that a lot of people are not going to believe, like if you take these beliefs and really root them in your life, a lot of people are not going to believe the same way that you believe.
Right.
I think a big part of that at the beginning of the book where this guy is struggling in his business, he goes to sit down with this master dude that, you know, supposedly super successful, knows everything, great mentor, speaker, and he says in the beginning, we're going to go through these five laws. We're going to meet five days this week for lunch, and we're going to go through these five laws, and I'm going to take you to meet people who implement these things. And then I want you each day when you learn something new to implement it that day. And he says, well, what happens if I don't, or I don't have the time or whatever? And his quote was, he said, how would you know? And he said, I won't, but you will.
Right. He told him that in the event that he doesn't practice the law that he's taught in that given day and come back having done something to implement it, that their week is over. He can't come back. The week is finished, and his mentoring is finished.
Why do you think he said it'll be done if you don't implement?
I think that he wanted to assure that he was dealing with someone that was willing to, somebody willing, a willing party that was not going to waste his time. And because he wasn't going to learn all the condition, all of the different laws, he was going to be wasting his own time too. And that the mentor understood that if you're not going to implement these into your life, let's just stop right now.
Right.
Because
it's not worth my time.
It's not worth your time.
Right. I think so many times in business, I get so passionate and excited about an idea that I can convince somebody to feel that same way. But there's been so many times that I wanted it more for them than they wanted it for themselves.
Right.
And if it's not their goals and their dreams and what they want, then the passion subsides, right? We know that.
Without a doubt.
So when passion subsides, that's where the real work kicks in. And if you're not dedicated, if I'm not dedicated to that task or to that business or to that job or to my wife that I made a commitment to, then you'll walk away.
Yeah, you won't honor your commitment.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, again, we could talk about this book all day.
Oh, yeah.
I want to pull up some kind of biblical, references that just talk about a little bit about what we're talking about. James 4:10, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you." Humble yourself. Think about that. In Psalms 37:4, it says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And in Genesis 39:2-6, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospers, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master." I think that these verses, all I did was I just typed in biblical verses about success. I was curious what search engines looked at as success. Mm. And you can see Google looks at a biblical verse referencing success at Genesis 39:2-6, which says the word prosper.
Okay.
So we're seeing success, the word success, line up with prosper. They did a cross reference in a millisecond in the Bible and found, okay, success and prosper synonyms.
Yeah.
According to our research, here's what we're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
The one that sticks out to me is, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, and humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble to me is very synonymous with giving.
Yeah.
It's not the same, but if you are if you have a humble spirit, you desire to serve people. You desire to love and serve people, and to me that's very part of it's a big part of being humble.
Yeah.
And the Bible, the Great Commission, we think about, one of the most, if not the most important verse in the Bible, that where Jesus is telling the disciples what to do when, after he's leaving earth, he's leaving and going to heaven, and he says, "Go and make disciples." He tells them to, go and serve and go and tell people about me and go and have a positive impact on this world for my glory. And I just think about the laws of stratospheric success, and it's the law of value, the law of influence, the law of authenticity, and what this stuff talks about is being authentic, being influential. When you're influential, you gain influence whenever you desire to give more than you receive.
Yeah.
That's how you gain influence. And people think it's just, people have it all backwards.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, oh, I'm supposed to receive more. Oh, the more recognition I get, the more success I have. And the more, and it's, and people, I tell you, the real successful folks understand the laws of stratospheric success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They understand that the Bible teaches, and again, they're not always using the Bible as their point of reference. A lot of times, they just they think there's just some universal power that that makes it to where if they give more, they receive more.
There is a universal power,
right? Yeah. Well, they don't call it God,
right? Yeah,
you know, don't call it God, and so it's just super interesting to me that some of these guys that have had just stratospheric success don't want to give the credit where credit's due.
I think I think of one guy specifically. I think of Gary Vee. You know, have you seen Gary Vee? Gary Vee is very much about giving and treating other people with an inordinate amount of respect and just like loving on people and people first. But there's no reference to
a greater power.
Yeah.
There's no reference to a creator.
The principle is there.
It's there.
Yeah.
He understands. And he desires to love and he desires to give back. And and he kind of relates it back to the love that his mother showed him.
That's right.
You know, and how she
sacrificially
love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know,
he's genuine. He's authentic. He's all those things.
Yes. You know, it's a shame that he doesn't recognize that his mother received that that desire from somewhere.
Yep.
And her mentor got that desire from somewhere. And at the end of the day, open the Bible. It's very clear how God desires for us to live our lives.
Yep.
You know, the greatest commandment, you know, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the very second sentence after that is, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
God's calling us to love our neighbors
before we love ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a testament of giving of ourselves. It's more important to give ourselves than to receive from others. I think it's a good place to stop the podcast. Yeah. We appreciate you guys being here, and go kick the day in the face. We'll catch you on the next one.